Let me bid you welcome again here. We say it so often, but we say it sincerely. It's just good to get together. So appreciate your attendance very, very much. There is an outline in the bulletin this morning. Follow along with the lesson. I gave the lesson text in the outline also at the very top. And so just in review, titled it Exhort. And so much some more. Some things just need to be said over and over again, or repeated, or emphasized. So this is one of them in the text. But he said, let's hold fast. The first exhortation is going to be, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. Let's do that. Let's exhort one another to do that. And to hold fast that confession without wavering. And let's consider one another. Let's exhort one another to do that, to consider each other. And then the third one is, exhort not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now let's exhort one another for assembly. And then the last one, it just says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The end, whatever it is. Let's just exhort one another. It's not just me that's called upon to do the exhorting. There's consider one another, exhort one another. So there's an obligation on the part of all of us in this. By the word exhort, I put in your notes by definition, it means to entreat or beseech, admonish. One definition in the dictionary was to urge one to pursue a course of exhort. Let's impel morally, or to persuade through earnest appeal. Oh, exhort, to encourage. One definition was to warn of danger if you exhort. So the obligation to exhort, I put in your notes, found numerous places. I'll read a couple of these. I just made the list for you. But in Acts 2, verse 40, Peter, standing up with the other apostles, told his audience, or says, with many other words, he did testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this crooked or untoward generation. Exhorted for their salvation. Exhort. And they had a good verse 41. They that received his word were baptized. They were, that day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. The exhortation for salvation to one another. In Acts 11, verse 23, it says, Barnabas, in all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Exhort to stay close to God. In Acts 14, verse 21, it says, when they, meaning Paul and Barnabas, had preached, exhort them to continue in the faith. So we want to consider in our consideration of one another. Consider one another's salvation. Cleave to the Lord. Continue in the faith. In Acts 27, or in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 5, Paul says, therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren. Now, some things just need to be done. And exhortation is one of them, and that's our lesson this morning. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11, Paul said, as you know how we exhorted and comforted. So in the exhortation, there's a comfort. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1, we beseech you, brethren. That's a word exhortation. Beseech. Exhort you by the Lord Jesus. How you ought to walk and to please God. And that you would abound in that more and more. Oh, exhort people to walk accordingly. I want to encourage, persuade, urge. And all of us need to do that. To walk accordingly. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said to Timothy, till I come, give attendance or Give it some priority to reading, to exhortation. Oh, there's some emphasis on the that should be on the part of all of us to exhort one another in these areas. Encourage, urge, persuade. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 32, Hebrew writer says, I appeal to you, brethren, bear with the word of exhortation. Oh, Brian, you keep saying that over and over again. Well, bear. Put up with me. Would you like this? Bear with the word of exhortation. Don't stop the brother beside you too soon and say, oh, listen, you told me that before. Bear with the word of exhortation. Put up with it. In Jude verse 3, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith. So exhortation. I'm giving you 14 references in your notes. Something about exhortation is important. That needs to be characteristic of our life. I want to give a word of exhortation. In our text, it mentions four things, or at least I see four things. You'll probably find more. But the first one is, hold fast the confession of our hope, or of our faith, depending on what translation you're reading. So I want to exhort you to hold fast the confession of our hope. You know, just before we were baptized, we made a statement of our faith. We said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a statement of our faith, of our hope. But it will be said throughout our Christian living. I didn't just say it that one time and say, I'll never say that again. No, I want to hold fast that confession of my faith. That profession. That's characteristic of my life. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hang on to that. Hang on to it. Hold fast. Embrace it. Cling to it. Keep a tight grip on it. Don't let loose. Hold fast. My faith, my confession, my profession of faith, that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I need to do it, the verse says, without wavering. In other words, don't allow anything to take you away from confessing or professing your faith. Don't let anything. Tribulation, hardships, struggles, whatever it is, problems, temptations, don't let anything. That's the word of exhortation. Hang on to that faith. Hang on to it. Second is just the word of exhortation. When you consider one another, think about others in the family of God. Think about those around you this morning. The pew in front and back, those beside you. I exhort you to consider one another. That's in the verse. And then it says, this is what I want you to exhort to those around you. Stir them up, or provoke them, or stimulate them. In my word of exhortation, I want to excite you to action. If I'm going to consider you, I want to exhort you, I want to fire, in a sense, fire you up. To stay on God's side. To hold it. I have an obligation to do that. And you do too. To those around you, consider one another. Give one another a word of exhortation today. Encourage them in the faith. Encourage them in the work of love. Exhort them. Plead, pray, urge. Consider the love and good works. Fruits and actions that seek the best. I want to encourage you. I exhort you to do that. Consider one another. The third one, he mentions not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. The word assembling. Of course, that has reference to our being together. Not forsaking the assembling of us together. Christianity involves assembly like we have this morning. In Acts 20, verse 7, says on the first day of the week, the disciples came together. They came together. That's significant. There's some value in assembly. There's things that take place here that cannot happen anywhere else on an individual basis. There had the need for assembly. In James chapter 2, verse 2, James says, "For if there should come into your assembly," and it mentions about the rich man and the poor man. We sometimes focus on that, but I want to go back. Wait, if these people come into your assembly, disciples assemble on the first day of the week. Exhort one another to assemble. To gather together. He said, though some forsake the assembly, so Paul, or the Hebrew writer says, don't forsake the assembling as the manner of some. He's not recommending forsaking the assembly. He's not, I put in your notes, mind your manner. That forsaking the assembly is the manner of some. Don't mind. Don't copy that. Be in the assembly. Exhort each other to that. To come together. Encourage, persuade. All that definition. Hold that fast. Now, always see writers mentioning the difference between a miss an assembly and forsaken an assembly. You know, if you miss an assembly, it might be because you're out of town. There might be an illness. Young people call in, I won't be there today because of such and such a reason. But the exhortation is don't forsake. Don't get in the habit of being absent. Don't get in the habit, and I use that word habit. Don't be in the habit of, you know, constantly not assembling. Because that's the exhortation in the text. Don't get in the habit of deliberately, I'm not going to be there. Making a mental thing, no, I will not attend. No, we want to exhort each other to assemble together. Right? Together. And then the last one, he says, in all of these exhortations, to confess, hold fast that confession of our faith, yeah. Consider one another, yeah. Assemble yourselves together, yeah. Come on. He's saying, I exhort you to exhort. That's what he wants us to do. I want to exhort you to exhort. Encourage and all that definition of that word exhort. You know, uphold, lift, plead, and all those good things. Because there's value and reward in assembling. It would be a burden to try to reach everybody. If I was going to exhort everybody, it'd be a burden for me to try to go to everyone's house during the week to exhort you. Why not? I need to give a word of exhortation. That would take a while. So when we assemble together, we can encourage one another, not just me, but consider those around you, front and back and sides. Give a word of exhortation to those around you this morning. Encourage them in the faith. Encourage them to assemble. I'll see you next Lord's Day, Lord willing. Encourage. And then it says so much the more as you see the day approaching. I see tomorrow, I'm going to make my own definition of this. As I see tomorrow approaching, I'm going to exhort you today. As I see next Lord's Day getting closer, I'm going to exhort you today. As I see my death day coming, I'm going to encourage you today. As I see judgment day coming, I'm going to exhort you today. I'm not going to limit that day to any one particular definition. I'm not. I'm just going to encourage you and exhort you as I see the day approaching. Always. So that's the lesson. Is to exhort you to exhort is the lesson. Always when we assemble together, We sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. I exhort not a Christian only to become a disciple, a follower, a student of the Master, or an imitator of the Master. I exhort you to make that decision to become a Christian. Simple plan or procedure, we always list it on the back of our bulletin. A step process here, should be an obvious one. Jesus in the Great Commission, Mark 16, verses 15 and 16, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Preach, yeah. Christianity is a taught religion. It's taught. Romans 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? You have to teach. And then number two, I'll put belief in there. He that believe. Jesus said in his last words in Mark 15, verse 15 and 16, he that believes. Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. Oh, the importance of believing the message and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe. And then number three, in the words of Jesus, repentance. He said that in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Except you repent, you'll perish. Well, I won't perish. And then number four is confession. And I exhort you, you know, we make to hold fast that profession that you made when you right before you were baptized. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what the Ethiopian did in Acts chapter 8 when Philip preaches to him a message on Jesus. And then number five, the last step in the process of becoming a Christian and in obeying the gospel message is to be baptized. He that believes, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Believe, baptized, comes salvation. And don't reverse the orders. Believe, be baptized, be saved. I exhort you. If you haven't done that, involved yourself in that process already, we have an opportunity. We sing a song of encouragement, of exhortation. So let's stand together, sing this before us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, please just let it this morning and while we're singing this song.